welcome once again to Proverbial Perspectives. I'm Shahid Ahmed, your host, and I'll be here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. And we're going to examine a term that refuses to go away. And that is a case, and making a case for intelligent design. Since the term intelligent design entered the lexicon, its meaning and educational merits have been extensively debated. No one has summed up the matter better than U.S. District Judge John E. Jones in his recent ruling in a landmark Pennsylvania schools case. Judge Jones wrote that its presence in the Dover, Pennsylvania biology curriculum violates the centuries-old ground rules of science by invoking and permitting supernatural causation, and that is nothing less than a religious view, a mere relabeling of creationism. Both sides in the evolution versus intelligent design controversy invested a lot of energy, interest, and expectation in the court case concerning the Dover, Pennsylvania school board that had mandated reading of a statement favorable to intelligent design in the district's biology classes. We here in Oregon haven't been dealing with this issue as much as I would like. So again, we're examining this issue, and we want to hear from you, the audience of KBOO, and we'll have a dialogue and some discussion as we examine and make a case for intelligent design. So please give us a call at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187 as we examine this term that refuses to die. Already, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The caller is on his cell phone, so he can't continue to discuss this right at this moment. But he wanted to, or he couldn't hardly hear me, but he wanted to make sure that I made known his comment that he hasn't seen any scientific proof to prove intelligent design, and the fossil records, as far as he's concerned, intelligent design is not provable. So I know I'm not expressing it as he would, but if he get a chance, if he can call back up, and we will try to get him on. We have another call right here on KBOO, and again, we invite all of you to take part in this discussion, because I'm frankly shocked that we haven't dealt with this here in Portland. And I know a number of members of the school board who are adamantly against any sort of infusion of intelligent design in this science classroom. They'd rather deal with Darwin's theory. And I think that that word is very, very crucial, that Darwin's theory of evolution. Let's take our first caller. KBOO, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hello.
My point is, if you have an idea that exists somewhere, but to say that you can prove it would be unscientific.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is like an archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have new ideas every day.
Mm-hmm.
And an idea, even though it exists in a realm that we can't prove scientifically, no one would deny it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, the archetype of a human being is an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that exists. And I don't believe that it excludes the categories of phylogeny and animal existence that Darwin researched and discovered.
Okay.
He actually never said one evolved into the other.
Oh.
He never actually postulated that idea.
I don't believe he had. He did as well, but it is being stated that he did. And so forth. So, listen, I got another call.
Yeah.
Call back if you feel like it. But this is. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye. KBOO, you're on the air. Question.
Well,
or comment?
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
I appreciate this issue, and I think that really, essentially, isn't this about what is science, what is religion? And I think that intelligent design is a perfectly appropriate subject for a sociology class or a civics class
mm-hmm.
or a theology class. But
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about a science class, you really are dealing with things that can be dealt with the scientific method.
Mm-hmm.
And intelligent design, unfortunately, is not something that you can apply the scientific method to, because as soon as fate enters into the equation, then all scientific method goes out the window, doesn't it?
But doesn't a certain amount of science depend on fate? I mean, if you look at a lot of the scientists and their discoveries, a lot of them were discovered by accident, and they have a certain faith in terms of pursuing a hypothesis. So I understand what you're saying, and I think this is one of the reasons why we really wanted to deal with this particular issue, and I wish we can deal with it more, and it will be dealt with more here in the Northwest, in Portland in particular, is I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think that what we're seeing with the nationwide intelligent design movement is really a backhanded attempt to usher religion into the classroom.
Well, that's what the judge said. But for science, if you're going to apply the science, and this is where, again, people get confused, because on one hand you want science, and on the other hand you say, well, if you use a scientific method with respect to looking at creation, then what you're really talking about is religion. scientists talk about test, prove what's observable, and that's what we're talking about.
And reproducible. You have to be able to observe it, and you have to be able to reproduce
it.
Well,
we're seeing reproduction with the human being every day.
Exactly. And so scientifically, the reproduction.
Let me ask you one question.
Yes.
Like you said, someone a moment ago, another caller said something about an idea. Do you believe that there is intelligence in the universe? That's all. Just, do you believe that there is intelligence?
Based on what I've seen, no.
No, there's no intelligence in the universe. You can look at the cellular structure of cells. You can look at ants. You can look at bees. You can look at birds, and you're saying there's absolutely no intelligence in the universe?
Well, I'm being a bit sarcastic. You look around you and you see a lot of boneheaded things being done.
That's true.
Have very much intelligence involved in common sense.
That's true. Let's look at common sense. One thing, let me just say this. Let's look at common sense. Let's say archaeologists will say that a clay pot is solid evidence that a civilization once lived someplace, right? They find, archaeology is a science.
Right.
No one believes that the ground or wind or chemicals randomly assembled to form that clay pot and accidentally painted a design on it, people made it. If a simple clay pot shows human design, why do we conclude about an object whose makeup is far more complex, like the human eye, for instance? It can distinguish among 7 million colors. It moves 100,000 times each day with automatic focusing. I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, I don't explain that.
Oh, okay.
I accept it. And see, that's where faith comes in. And that's where I think that there's a distinct division between proving something. And really, religion and science will never be able to reconcile their differences.
So that archaeological example I gave you should not be dealt with in a science class.
Well, yeah, I think that I think that you can certainly apply the scientific method to that scenario, and at that point you can determine that what you're dealing with is the difference between faith and things that are seeable and observable.
Right, right, like a clay pot.
So, exactly. So yes, you know, when you look at intelligent design as opposed to evolution and intelligence in the universe as opposed to just random entropy, then I think that...
Have you read The Origin of Species, Charles Darwin's Origin of Species? You've read it?
I've read parts of it, but I haven't read the whole thing.
Okay. And have you read his other works? The Descent of Man, for instance?
No.
Okay. One of the things, if you look at some of the implications of what we're talking about, because that's what we're talking about here, we're basically talking about a value system that I think that some people don't want to see in the public schools. We're talking about values, actually, okay,
right.
to some degree, because when, you know, people talk about religion, what they're talking about, they think they're talking about a lot of the values, but... if you use Charles Darwin, the implication of the survival of the fittest, you know, these observable things that he observed on a Galapagos Island, you know, how the beak was evolved.
Specialized to perform a certain function, right?
And if you look at that, that was taken by people like Karl Marx, people like, let's say Adolf Hitler. In terms of applying this to the human being, we are the strongest, so therefore we should rule. Now you have this neo-Darwinism, who basically is this dog eat dog. You know,
you could do the same thing with religion. You can say that people have taken a religious interpretation. Look at the guy
who's
claiming to be a prophet from God, and he's raping and killing and forcing children into warfare.
I don't want to even give the impression that you don't have religious fanatics out there as well in every religion. Absolutely, with this interpretation. But speaking about this intelligent design now, in terms of a viable science, when you look at the cosmology aspect of everything, it's something that I think that should be considered. Listen, I got other calls, but thank you so much.
Yes, very, very good. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. KBOO 90.7.
Yeah, I got three quick points I want to make. I have read Origin of the Species, and I think his evidence is pretty solid. I don't think anybody that's read it can dispute it. The only people that criticize it are people that haven't read it.
Mm-hmm.
And two other quick points. As a scientist, I found that most of my coworkers believe in God, and I certainly do. I don't see a conflict between cosmic intelligence. And,
neither do I.
And as a scientist in biochemistry, we used to have triple distilled pure water plumbed throughout the building, and we would put that water in a super clean flask, autoclave it four times, put it on a shelf, and within 3 to 4 months, no matter what we did, things would start growing. It was just impossible to keep something from growing.
So there's a cause and effect.
Well, I'm just saying
that
life, you can't stop life.
You can't stop life. Okay.
It just happens. I mean,
It just happens on its own.
Well, I'm saying that you can't with pure water and nothing else but light.
Yeah. Okay. Pure water
start growing out.
Yeah. Using that as an example, using that experiment as an example, you have the water and then life grows.
That's it.
Right? So there's a cause and effect thing there, right?
That's it.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
saying that life is going to originate any chance it has.
Okay.
And I don't see any conflict between the Lord because...
Do you think that intelligent design should be taught in the classroom? In the science classroom?
I think it's
get to the chase
that there is some cosmic force guiding things. There's just been too many cases, my own personal experience, plus I don't know how many millions of recorded examples of higher intelligence out there, you know. It's just beautiful.
I totally agree. It was like I had mentioned to this other caller about intelligence. Do he believes that intelligence exists in the universe? And one of the things, I'm a Muslim, one of the things that we are taught is the very first word of the Quran or the very first word revealed to our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was Iqra, read. Something appealing to the reason of man that we can find faith through reason. Through reason.
But every creature reasons on one level or another, whether it's moving toward the light and the heat or away from pain.
Absolutely.
Reason just is different levels that, you know, we reason on our own level, but
absolutely. The Islamic world is almost very, very close to celebrating Eid al-Adha, which is the Eid of sacrifice by the Prophet Abraham. And Abraham is known widely in the Islamic world as being a scientist, uh-huh. an observer of the stars, and coming to the conclusion that somebody did that.
There's one other observation I would make, and that is, mm-hmm. Having read Emmanuel Velikovsky, mm-hmm. I find his work very credible as well. All three of his books, he did a lot of research and then did his homework, and his conclusions are all valid in terms of other planets nearly colliding with the Earth or colliding, mm-hmm. you know, the asteroids striking the Earth to form the Yucatan, and then much more recently within written history. My understanding is there was another planet that smaller than the Earth, nearly collided with the Earth. It was destroyed, became the asteroids, and nearly destroyed the Earth, kind of twisted it and created the Ring of Fire.
Is that when the dinosaurs disappeared?
No, this is much more recent, 10 to 12,000 years ago.
Okay.
Right around the time of the beginnings of recorded history or mm-hmm. even spoken mm-hmm. record. The Bible and so on, and it seems to me that that sort of event, you know, fire in the sky and cataclysmic events would certainly inspire religions all over the world.
Yeah.
Just the fear of God, you know, not understanding what was going on.
Yes.
I know when I get scared, I certainly look to God.
You're not the only one, brother. Listen.
So religion, you know, may have mm-hmm. very well been inspired all over the world. All the different religions may have come from a common mm-hmm. Event that inspired.
One of the things that, you know, is interesting you say that in terms of all over the world and these connections. One of the things that I think that I learned in college, and I'm sure you did as well, was this taboo. You know, you can look at something as very simple as this incest taboo that's known in sociology and science and so forth. And it's funny that even before races supposedly contacted with one another, races deep in the jungles and never had any kind of exposure in races that were found and people that were discovered and so forth, they all had that same thread going through their culture.
Well, the most religions of the world do share a lot of common threads. Now, one thing that occurs to me after reading Velikovsky is the possibility that this other planet that nearly collided or did collide with the Earth was closer to the sun and turned faster. Life evolved there first. Intelligent creatures, mankind, quite possibly inhabited that planet,
mm-hmm.
foresaw what was coming, had the technology, and launched a mission to the Earth to ensure their survival, knowing that the Earth, as a larger heavenly body, would stand a better chance in the collision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite possible that we migrated here from another planet in the solar system, and brought religion and those sorts of taboos and there seems to be quite a bit of evidence for that as well.
Right. Listen, I have to go. But thank you so much for your call. Okay. 231-8187, 231-8187, a case for intelligent design, a term that refuses to go away. A moment ago, we talked about the human eye, and I talked about the human eye. We're told that producing a human eye takes a long time. It is assumed that such random chance takes a great amount of time to perfectly assemble something so complex. Okay? So, what about the likelihood of life on Earth? Maybe you are aware of all the perfect conditions that are necessary for us to be here. The Earth's perfect distance from the sun, the perfect combination of gases in our atmosphere, the perfect tilt and rotation of the Earth, the perfect gravitational force, the presence of water, and on and on and on. So these are things I think that are scientific. I haven't mentioned God yet, you know, or this intelligent design, but I think, you know, not even saying God, because, you know, I know people are aversion to that word. We're talking about an intelligent designer. Got some more calls. 231-8187. KBOO, you're on the air.
Yes. I think your last caller missed your point about the incest. There's scientific reasons for an incest taboo.
Absolutely.
Animals, tribes, and separated people made this discovery or were intuitively given this information.
Intuitively. I like that.
I have no, like apparently you do, I have no conflict. I got to turn my radio off. It's not I'm in a well. I have no conflict between religion and science. I think one day that we'll all realize that the scientific information points to a holiness that we should have reverence for. My argument against the Darwinians and neo-Darwinians is that they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Everybody is upset because the right-wing literalist Bible readers cause so much consternation amongst intelligent and educated people that there's a tendency to throw the backing toward Darwinianism. And there's one word that they could drop from that theory that would make it more acceptable to all of us. And the word is random. Random mutation, they talk about, is the cause of
all the complex life.
Random mutation and natural selection are the theory.
Right.
And first of all, there's no clear mathematical definition of random. You could spend a day in a math class in high school just discussing the work that people have done on randomness, and that would raise consciousness there. So I think there's room for there's plenty of room for God and science because, as you say, they're accepting things on faith anyway.
Right.
They have beliefs that they are passing on through education to the rest of us. So
what is a hypothesis? Nothing but a theory, you know. And Darwin's theory, and this is the problem. Darwin's theory is being taken as fact.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
And as a result, if you're going to have theories, then it seems to me logically, then let's discuss theories. And my question to you is, should or should not intelligent design be taught in a science class?
I think what the Dover School Board wanted to do about reading a statement is not that unreasonable to me. But I see their point. It is a question of faith, and if science... See, that's a problem with science right now.
Okay.
Science will not accept anything or can't, by its rules, accept anything that isn't rationally proven out on hard evidence.
Well, then,
this
is the same thing as Cain and Abel, if you ask me, but to use a religious analogy. But
one of your earlier callers, you had an idea. Maybe the thing to do is to get these statements read in sociology classes.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, because if you want to get something read in sociology class, you probably should put Darwin's theory in a cartoon class or a mythology class. That's what you should do. But listen, I got another callers.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. KBOO, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to...
Excuse me?
Yeah,
I said you'd like to wade in.
Design. I've got one point to make.
Yes, sir.
And this last caller mentioned science needs something rationally proven on hard evidence, I think is his wording.
Okay.
And so I've got some hard evidence here to that shoots down evolution and indicates intelligent design, and it has to do with DNA.
Oh, boy.
Okay, now I'm going to stay away from real technical stuff
and
keep it simple.
Yeah,
so don't worry.
Us. Don't lose
but
us.
But I think everybody knows about DNA, the genetic code, right, in our cell, in every cell. Well, even bacteria have their own DNA that tells the next bacteria how it's going to be formed, okay?
Absolutely.
It's like a code. And it's shaped, people may have heard the term double helix, which means a double spiral. It's a molecule built out of all these atoms, and you can picture it like a stepladder. It's a long chain. That's really physically how it's shaped. If you blow it up and blow it up in a microscope, it's just like a stepladder, except it just goes on and on and on. It's very long, and each rung in the stepladder is a pair of molecules, and the code you always hear about is, well, each step in the ladder, it's like a sequence, you know, and so depending on how the sequence goes, that's the code that, anyway, so I'll just leave it at that. You got to have that picture in your mind, though, for this thing I'm going to give you that makes sense.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
you made a very good point.
Here's the point I want to make. The simplest bacteria, I'm getting this from a book by a guy who wrote a Dictionary of Physical Sciences published by Oxford University, okay? So this guy is a reliable scientist. He says, I'm quoting from another book of his called The Scientific Companion. He says, the smallest DNA molecule that we know of is in a bacteria, and it is a chain with 1.5 million pairs, they call them nucleotides. So that would be rungs in the ladder. 1.5 million rungs in the ladder of this molecule. That's the simplest organism known. Okay, now here's the thing for people to think about. If evolutionists say life arose
randomly
by chance, like the first organism, you know, where did life come from on the earth, you know, when it was just no life at all? It had to start somewhere, right?
Right.
So they have to tell, they're trying to get you to believe that 1.5 million molecule long code just put itself together by accident.
Right.
Now think about that. How can anybody believe that?
It's a grown-up fairy tale, as one biologist called it.
And if they try and tell you, just pass over it, like, well, it was a simple, you know, it started out simple.
Right.
My point is, 1.5 million long is the simplest. That's not simple. There's nothing simple about it. That's why it's called complexity, intelligent design, because you had to have somebody intelligent put that thing together. It's not going to happen by accident floating around out in the ocean.
Right.
It's never going to happen.
Right. Sir, I got other callers.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Does that all make sense?
No. Oh, it made a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
All right.
And I certainly want to thank that caller because he introduced another aspect of this argument. And we get to the phones in just a moment. The phones are very active. The DNA code there's a code involved, and that code suggests intelligence. I mean, a code just doesn't happen. You're not going to get a code to a bank safe. I wish I could get a code to a bank safe just by accident and just be there back. Well, that's a whole other thing. Let me, Cable, you're on the air, sir.
Yes,
ma'am.
Wonderful discussion tonight.
Thank you.
I'm going to be really brief because my phone is acting up.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say, I think that they should put Darwin's theory in a class of theoretical sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And teach
very
what is theory. Because I remember when I was in high school, we heard about the theory of evolution, and it was like the theory of relativity. You know, I mean, we have the theory of relativity. Isn't that a proven theory?
It is proven,
but
yes.
But they never distinguished between proven theories and unproven theories.
Right, right.
So I think that'll start with a definition of what is a theory and get the kids thinking.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
kids can think on their own. I'll take my comment off the air, okay?
Yes, thank you so much. But going with your argument, then... the theory of intelligent design should be included right alongside of the theory of relativity, although that's proven now, and the theory of evolution. So you're absolutely right. Thank you very much. Cable, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, great. You have a question or comment?
But I have some problems with the direction this has taken. That, to begin with, science is based on repeatable experimentation by disinterested observers. And an example of what was I here? Matthew 16,
The
Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus replied, so on and so forth, down here to a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it.
Okay.
Faith means operating on the basis of something that you hope for, but there's no way that to know it.
Right.
Science is a matter of testing a hypothesis and building something like a metal smelter, all kinds of things,
but,
and doing something that you can do repeatable experiments that don't.
But what we're saying as well is that the hypothesis in and of itself is an act of faith. Okay? Because I mean you want to test something. But listen, thank you so much for your
I sense that some people are trying to make religion into a science that they can take to the bank, and I sense that is an indication of people who don't understand the difference between spirituality and the service and worship of mammon.
Good observation. Listen, I have some more calls. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Cable, you're on air.
Hello.
Your radio? You might
let me check your radio off. Just a minute.
Right.
Okay, there, I got it. What I've observed with a lot of people is they got a religion and it's called Darwinism, and they have a tremendous faith in it.
That's
and
true.
There's nothing you can do to break their faith. I mean, they just absolutely believe this. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I have looked over study evolutionary biology to a certain extent. And what I see in it is that there's adaption within species. And with Darwin's theory, they got very few fossils, and they got a lot of theory.
You're right.
And they have no way of proving this by the scientific method. Now, in species will adapt to certain conditions, and then there's variation.
The human
species,
being.
Like, for instance, a lion and a tiger are a variation of the same species because they can mate and they'll have offspring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, just like people of different races,
right.
When they mate, they'll have offspring, and they're generally of some variation of the two things. And this happens, like, for instance, if something happens, you know, some kind of a disaster, we'll say with people, there'll be some people that can adapt to that disaster and others
right.
can't. So you'll get some kind of an adaptation. But what I, as far as I see, no dog has ever turned into a horse. No horse has ever turned
well,
into
it has,
that just don't happen because that big guy upstairs, he designed all them creatures the way they're supposed to be. And he
right.
also designed the fact that
right.
they can adapt to various
right.
situations. So as far as I'm concerned, I heard one fellow saying
wait a minute now. I'm going to a whole other thing. I got a bunch of people I want to try to
okay.
get on the air, okay? But thank
okay.
you so much for your call because you introduced a very important point. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And one of the things that, like this gentleman just indicated, is it's not an either-or situation per se. Most intelligent design folk admit that evolution does occur. You know, evolution does occur. Things get better. The human being has gotten better. The human being has evolved. Okay? But what we are saying is that initially, that intelligent design plays a factor in a role as well. So, Kabu, okay. Kabu, you're on the air. Question or comment?
I just want to say that God and science can coexist.
I agree with you.
Like, you know, they're like the previous person said, you can... have evolution within a species. We change and adapt, but
yeah. You sound like a youngster. Are you kind of like young?
Yes.
Okay. Do you go to school?
Yes.
Do you think that the theory of evolution and the theory of intelligent design should be taught side by side in the science class?
Oh, I don't know. At our school, we just avoid it.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah, that's what they did. That's what they did when I was in college as well, in the science class. But we would talk about evolution.
Uh huh. Yeah, we don't even talk about either of them because even if they mention it, some big argument will come up.
Yeah, and this is in Portland.
Salem.
Salem. Okay. 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 I'm sorry to cut you off. Did you have a question? I mean, did you finish your comment? Did you get a chance to finish?
Basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just
that, you know, there is evolution, and basically Darwin's findings and researches were accurate, and things do evolve and things change, but that he kind of took it to the next step, and I think there has to be some kind of intelligent designer to start out the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thank that young man. I hope he continues to go to school and continue to be as smart as he seems to be. My problem with Darwin's theory is he studied some beetles and turtle and the beaks of birds and determined, as this one, that there is no God. You know, he said that how did he jump from that to state that automatically, you know, to get into cosmology, you know, or... And as one listener said, he really didn't do it because actually he was learning to be a minister until he took that fateful voyage. But he made this leap, or people who followed him has made this leap that because evolution does exist, that the whole of creation happened by itself without any kind of intelligent agent, without the agency of any intelligent designer. So I don't understand it. Okay. 231-8187-503-231-8187. We're going to be getting out of here in about 15 minutes, but I did want to make a couple of observations. And one thing I think that is always a question with this particular question, there's a distinct difference people should know between creationism and intelligent design. They are not the same. They're not synonymous, I don't believe. I certainly don't agree with Pat Robertson, who recently warned the citizens of Dover, Pennsylvania, that they risk the divine wrath of God for siding with Darwin. I believe in a creator that wants us to discover him through reason. And I mentioned the Arabic word that's in the Quran of Ikra, read. You know, so this is something I think that we should think about. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. We're talking tonight about a case, making a case for intelligent design to be taught in schools, right alongside Darwin's theory of evolution. You know, many intellectuals say that intelligent design, pardon me, isn't science, because you start with the presupposition that God or something created the universe. And that's not true. It follows the evidence wherever it leads. Do you rule out at the outset the possibilities of a creator and then only look at evidence that tries to create a naturalistic explanation for the data? Or are you open to the possibility of an intelligent designer? Interesting thing to think about. Cable, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Turn your radio down, please. Question or comment?
I have a question or comment, I guess, is more.
You have to turn your radio down.
Everybody seems to be thinking that it's okay to teach this as a science. And I'm really wondering, I think it's all on the wrong thing. I think what everybody's talking about is, should be called religious science, because it's religion, it's not science.
Okay.
You talk about the theory of evolution as though it were a theory, and that's the way things are presented in science. It is a theory that has been proven by a tremendous body of evidence and work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a proven theory. Same as the theory of relativity.
What work?
It's not a theory. It's a proven theory. Proven by a tremendous amount of experimentation and evidence.
Right.
However, if you take something like the theory, string theory, which is the modern physics approach, that hopes to explain things that the theory of relativity does not, then you find that there's a tremendous body of evidence and very little proof yet. So these are speculative. But just because it's called a theory, don't assume that it's not proven. Now, if you take something like...
Hold up.
There is none. It doesn't exist. The work doesn't exist.
The work.
You keep saying that it. You cannot prove things with the negative. You need to have God show up and say, "Hey, okay, you know, yeah, I designed this." Or it could not. You cannot prove that your theory with any evidence.
Yeah. Well,
other theories are wrong.
Okay.
You need to prove it with things.
What?
Evidence that your theory is right, and you need to give some kind of evidence that that's right.
Okay.
And the fact that man, you know, is not intelligent enough to understand the complexity of the universe he lives in is not new.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't prove that there's any kind of other intelligence than man's.
Well, I think common sense would tell you that.
And man defines what intelligence is. He's even defined what his God is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? It's like he defines something in its own terms.
All right,
it's a topology.
Okay.
So basically, let's teach it in schools, call it religious science, and teach it under religious science, just like you would political science.
Well,
which, you know,
religious
really isn't along with the
religion. You're going to call it religion. You're going to call it religious science because of what?
Well, because that's what it is. That's what you're talking about.
No, we're not. We say an intelligent designer. No one has said anything about religion.
But
and
you
there
don't,
we
have no evidence.
Just a second.
You have, you know, have nothing to support it.
You have nothing to support intelligent design. Did you
There's
hear the? Did you,
to
wait a minute, sir.
No evidence.
Did you hear
when you should,
all?
When you learn
did you,
science,
sir,
you
sir,
learn mechanisms.
Sir,
you
sir,
learn things
sir,
that are observable.
Sir, see, you know what? Did you hear
There's
the
no,
person?
You have
did
nothing,
you hear the
you
person
no
talk about Did you hear the person talk about all the molecular, DNA and all of that? You didn't hear that part?
Then you're talking about molecular science, you're talking about physics, you're talking about a real science. You're not talking about something that's mystical.
Well, that's what, he put forth that that had to happen by some sort of intelligent designer.
No. There's no indication of
an intelligent designer. Okay, then you're saying
just... There's an indication of a stupid observer.
Oh, see, now...
Man
you're taking...
Man is an observer in this situation.
You know,
and
a person...
if he observed something...
A person just called up and said...
To do that.
That you, Darwinists, you won't believe anything, and now you start calling people stupid, which is really taking this conversation to a very
another level. No, I said the observer was stupid, and I exactly meant that.
Okay.
And besides that, you've called them comedial.
Okay,
and I think you need to kind of think your position on this.
I think you need to get a new monologue. So beautiful when you got the buttons, you can just turn them off. KBO, you're on a question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I think this is great. We can talk about...
let's talk, right? Let's shout at each other.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
I know. It gets so intense when you try to...
Wow. Man. I see the phone line lighting up, so he's calling back. But go ahead. Question or comment, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I think definitely, you know, religion should be taught in schools. You know, theory of evolution should be taught in schools. And people should just talk about it. I mean, it helps you live your life better. And just the awareness of what the world is like is it's a good thing to talk about in general.
I think it is a good thing to talk about. And I would even go so far to say this neo-Darwinism, this survival of the fittest, this law of the jungle and the implications of all that, I think that is the underpinnings for racism. That one race feels that they're better because I obviously have more. I've evolved more on the evolutionary scale. I'm evolutionary more superior than you, and I don't know how anybody could say that. Especially last night when I seen Vince Young perform the way he performed, and this is a man who in 1860 was considered 1/3 of a man.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
And he certainly didn't look like 3/5 of a man last night. When you look at war in Iraq, that the big have a right to push around the small, because it's the law of the jungle. I mean, this is, I can tell you what to do, or otherwise you're going to do it my way, or otherwise you're going to suffer the consequences.
Right.
Police killings. I mean, you know, to me, I'm just saying for me as an African-American, these are the underpinnings that comes out of this neo-Darwinist philosophy, and those that don't want to give it up don't want to give up their racism. They don't want to give up. They don't want to give up their privileged way of looking. Well, you know, the have-nots must not have simply because they're lower on the evolutionary scale.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe. I mean, I don't know if you know. I wouldn't pin Darwinism as the contributor to all those ills in the world.
Absolutely. Examine it.
But yeah, I mean,
think on it.
Extremism in general, I think, is the problem,
on it.
And just.
I'm sorry, go ahead. He must have got cut off on his cell phones. That's how we are now. K-Boo, you're on here. A question or comment? I got 10 minutes left.
I'm loving this show tonight. This is so good.
Thank you.
Even in spite of
the guy, me and the guy doing all the hollering?
I absolutely disagree with you. I am a pure Darwinist or neo-Darwinist or whatever you want to say.
Okay.
But I'm a very spiritual person. I think evolution evolved us all a spirit seat, a seat of the
evolution
spirit.
Evolved a spirit.
A seat of the spirit. Anyway, a piece in the brain where the spirit is felt, where consciousness happens, in any event.
Okay.
From that point of view, I see it exactly opposite. The basis of all the racism and the law of the jungle kind of...
But that's what Hitler did. Hitler used it as that.
Yeah.
And after
that's all from religion. That's because that's because Hitler didn't have religion. Maybe that's what it is. but whatever. Now,
if he didn't have religion, he had Darwinism. That's what I'm pointing to. Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the people.
Actually, Darwin's cousin was the guy who came up with eugenics.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And that's what.
If you ever read Darwin's,
he was like the unspiritual Darwin.
If you ever read Darwin's Descent of Man, you'll see that where a lot of these ideas sprang from.
Yeah, I understand, but Darwin's ideas are still 150 years old. There's been a lot of interesting stuff added since then. In any event, let me to try to be brief here. So starting from the idea that we're both exactly diametric opposite, is there a way I can get in touch with you, an email address or someplace where we could extend the conversation? So
yes.
I wanted to give
my
you
name
that.
Is Hamid, Haamid,
yeah,
3@netzero.net.
Hamid.
Yes.
Netzero.net.
.com, I think, is netzero. Just put netzero. I think that'll get you.
All right.
Get you to me, okay?
Excellent.
And I've been looking forward to
So then I thought of one that we could pursue on the radio that would not be me arguing my science and would not be you arguing your religion. It would be what they call...
I'm not arguing religion, but go ahead.
What they call a thought experiment.
Okay.
Suppose...
I'm arguing spirituality. I'm not arguing religion, and there's a difference, and people keep confusing the difference. But go ahead. Hello.
Well, I'll try to listen more carefully.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Suppose all of the life was removed from the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Darwinist, the evolutionist, said it would start over, and it would come back through the cycle. And not only that, when the evolution got up to the level of human consciousness, it would rediscover science in the same order that we discovered it, and it would come to understand evolution the same way that we have.
If all of life had got off the Earth, physics tell you this, it cannot start again by itself. Something has to initiate. This is physics. This is science. Something has to initiate it. Something has to start the motion. Nothing just motions on its own.
The ingredients in their proximity motion on their own.
When you look at what the person was talking about, DNA code, the DNA code, the DNA and the microbiology, Michael B. here.
Those little molecules, the molecules together.
All of that, that is going to come together by chance, is what you're saying. It's going to come together by chance to produce an intelligent human being.
Two are going to come together by affinity. And then another two are going to come together by affinity.
You call it affinity, whatever you want to call it. It's randomness is what you're saying.
No, it's the same thing that keeps the Earth in orbit around the sun. They have gravitational mass.
It's going to be a gravitational, magnetic?
Mass has gravity, and they attach even at small amounts like that, but they're attaching to another small thing, so it doesn't take much to attach them. And they fit. The shape of the atoms fit together like a key and a lock.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a pair. And another pair is floating nearby, and another pair is floating nearby. And the pairs can get in order. They don't start 150 minutes. Anyway, I didn't want to get into this detail. I like the more at the philosophic level. I don't think you could take all the life off the Earth, but if you could take all the life off the Earth, evolution says it would start over and come back through the sequence, the same sequence that we've already come through, and come to the same point that we're at now where we understand evolution.
Okay.
What does the religion say? Does the intelligent
religion
designers...
My religion said the same thing.
The intelligence will come back, will revisit the Earth and redesign it and restart it?
But by the agency of a creator. Yes, my religion said the same thing. You know, my religion says the same thing. I'm getting personal here in just a moment.
He says the same thing.
He said, God says, if he wants, he can wipe the whole human race off the earth and start all over again if he wants to. No problem.
See,
this is man egocentric, egotistical view of himself.
Yeah, I agree.
That he can start over again from nothing.
What would you start with?
You know what? Let's just hope the people who have their fingers on the
these
atom bombs get that thought. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hamid.
No, thank you. Give me an email.
All right.
We got about 5 minutes left. It's been an enjoyable program, and certainly want to thank everyone who has called regarding this issue. And I just want to say, if you look at public opinion polls, and I think just the polls that we've had here tonight, they're just a sampling of the discussion we've had tonight. The public at large is generally skeptical about Darwinism. It just doesn't ring true to a lot of people. There's an underlying widespread skepticism that neo-Darwinism could explain the diversity of life. And people are skeptical. If you define evolution as change over time, everybody agrees that there's been evolution. The question is, what about the grandest claims of neo-Darwinism, that a common ancestor and natural selection acting on random variation over eons of time can account for all this diversity of life? Those grandest claims don't withstand scrutiny, and that's scientific. I'm Shahid Ahmed. Thank you so much for joining me on Proverbial Perspective. I'll be back maybe at the first Thursday of next month with more discussion, possibly on Darwinism, and if not, certainly on something that is of interest to all of us and hopefully can make a contribution to our understanding. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in to KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio and To Proverbial Perspectives. Peace out.